So I was a little bit disappointed when I saw our turnout tonight. It really isn't very good. But then the Holy Spirit came and moved regardless. So he says, I'm not dependent on how many people there are there. I'm dependent on your faithfulness. And there's a powerful anointing here tonight. And God is busy moving. And I believe if we stick to it, if we are just willing to push through, if we're willing to take hold of what the Holy Spirit is laying out for us, we will come out after this conference. And I believe we can continue in this move of the Holy Spirit, not just up to, until Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, but we can continue on an ongoing basis. I believe we're going to come out stronger, deeper, fuller, richer, because that's what Jesus is to us. That's what the Holy Spirit is to us. That's what our Father is. He loves us. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us that which we need. And we can give Him honor for that. He's good. Now, I want to apologize. I went to fetch my jacket because I thought it was cold up here, but now I'm too hot. So, and you know I don't normally preach with a jacket on, so there it goes. So tonight, it's already out. The cat's out the bag, if I can open it up. That's it, sweetie. Just click it. There we go. No, okay, just go back. You clicked it twice. Just click it once. There you go. So, tonight I want to speak about bearing fruit. Now, what on earth has that got to do with Pentecost? What has bearing fruit got to do with Pentecost? And this afternoon, I had a bit of a struggle because I prepared this message and I read it and I thought, Keith, what are you preaching about? Have you missed it? And I went in and researched what I'd prepared because over the last 2 weeks or so, the Lord has been dealing with me in my quiet time and giving me this message and the message for Wednesday night and even more. And some of it I've just kind of briefly been sharing with you and encouraging you in the few things that I've said. But I believe God is speaking to us. So tonight I want to speak about bearing much fruit. But before I do that, I want to welcome you to our fire conference. It's a slow start, but you know most fires start just with a spark. Amen? And we're going to trust that by Sunday it's a roaring inferno. And we must just pray about it. God will move. He has been moving. Last week Sunday morning, God moved. Last week Sunday night, God moved. Friday night, God moved. Last night, God moved. Yesterday morning, we had the most amazing message from the Lord. And I trust that He's already moved here tonight. But I trust that tonight, you will be challenged. Tonight is a challenge. As I was preparing, I felt the Lord leading me to a number of scriptures which speak about fruit, grain, wine, and oil. And you know, I've spoken a bit about the grain, the wine, and the oil already. So you can hear a bit more, but we need it to sink in. Through these, I think the Lord has called us to a time of repentance and a time of seeking Him like never before. A time of a hunger for the Lord. And I said it yesterday, I just feel that God is, and the prophecy came out again tonight. He's here. If we want Him, we've called on Him, He's here. The more we hunger for the Lord, the more He's going to honor it, the more He'll come. I think, personally, as I've studied this, I've come to the realization that we can experience revival at any time. You know, you hear of great revivals that happen after people spend ages and ages of time in prayer. I think it comes from a sincere desire in our hearts to go deeper, to know more, to be closer to the Lord. I honestly believe if we'll just persevere, we will get a revival in our lives like we couldn't even have imagined will happen. And I think that to some degree the church has been deceived by the enemy to think that revival only comes from time to time. I believe it's available for us all the time. And I think it's got a lot to do with our attitude towards the Lord, our attitude towards how much time we'll spend to Him, our attitude towards walking in righteousness and holiness, our attitudes towards being hungry for more of the Lord. Because we fill our lives with all this other stuff and we lose our hunger for the Lord. And we need to turn it around. We need to turn our lives right side up. So Joel, you know, we read in Joel, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter started preaching to the people, and they said, no, these people are drunk. He said, it can't be drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what was prophesied in the book of Joel, that in those days I'll pour out my spirit Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. But I want to read from Joel 2 verse 19. Because if you go and read the whole of chapter 2 of Joel, you get the context. And I want to set the context tonight. So we'll just read Joel 2 verse 19 and then I'll track back. Joel 2 verse 19 says this. The Lord will reply, look, I'm sending you new grain and new wine and olive oil enough to satisfy your needs. You will no longer be an object of mockery among the surrounding nations. Do you see it's grain, new wine, and olive oil? Enough to satisfy your needs. How much do you need, church? Because you can have it. That's what the Lord says. Grain speaks of life. Grain speaks of life. From grain they would make bread and they ate the bread. We remember from the Word of God that Jesus is the bread of life. He said, if you eat of me, you will hunger. You won't hunger again. Amen? Wine, new wine, speaks of joy. New wine was what they would bring out at celebration time. And it would cause merriment and happiness. And at the time of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, it was a time of great joy. We know that the joy of the Lord comes through the Holy Spirit. The new wine. You will have all the joy you need. Who is lacking joy tonight? There's lots of, we've ministered about it over the last while. And the Lord is pouring out the spirit of joy. But have we got enough of it? Have we had enough of it? And then the olive oil, of course, speaks about the anointing. And in the Holy Spirit, as we focus on Him and as we draw near to Him, we'll find fresh anointing. But on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was speaking, and he said, this is what happened in Joel, he only referred to that section of the Holy Spirit being poured out. So when I went and read in Joel, and this is what I was saying, I'm going to give you the context. If you go and read about it in the book of Joel, if you start in chapter 1 and then you read into chapter 2, it's actually speaking about God bringing judgment upon His people because they'd slipped away. They weren't serving Him. God was bringing judgment. But the character and the nature of God comes out because He loves us. He's a merciful God. And halfway through the prophecy, all of a sudden, it's as though God relents. And instead of prophesying judgment anymore, Joel starts prophesying restoration and revival. That's the heart of God. God's mercy breaks us. I wrote it to you. I thought these were such beautiful words, you know. Breaks through like a brand new dawn. You know, the sun coming up. It's beautiful. It doesn't matter how many times you see it. It's beautiful. God's mercy breaks through like that, like a brand new dawn. And in Joel 2 verse 12, it says, that is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for He is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with an unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not to punish. That's God's heart. He is eager to relent and not to punish. Who knows? Perhaps He will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of this curse. And He was talking about a specific curse. Perhaps you will be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before. You see, the curse was, and it speaks about later, the locusts that had devoured the harvest. And various different kinds of locusts. So what the one kind of locust didn't eat, the other one ate. There was nothing left. It was barren. It was dead. There was no hope. And it said, perhaps God will relent and you will be able to worship Him with wine and with grain. That would mean that they'd have to get a new harvest. Because without that, they couldn't worship God. They didn't have what they needed to worship God. And after God, after the prophet said that in Joel 2 verse 12, if you drop down to 2:21, then comes the amazing prophet. Don't be afraid. Amazing promise, sorry. Don't be afraid, O land. Be glad now and rejoice. Let us rejoice and be glad. What did Shirley preach about yesterday morning? For the Lord has done great things. Don't be afraid, you animals of the field, for the wilderness pastures will soon be green. The trees will again be filled with fruit. Okay, now you can start seeing the fruit linking in to the baptism, to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The trees will again be filled with fruit. Fig trees and grapevines will be loaded down. Loaded down. I went and I searched for a picture that had a grapevine that was loaded. I mean, that grapevine is like seriously loaded with fruit. There's just grapes, wherever you look, there's almost more grapes than leaves. And that's what I believe the Lord is saying. He's going to load us down with a blessing. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice, you people of Christian heritage. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for the rain he sends, the rain speaks about the Holy Spirit, demonstrates his faithfulness. Once more the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains of spring. Well, we're going to have autumn rains. For if we were in Israel, it would have been spring rains, but we're going to have autumn rains, but the rain of the Spirit. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and I'll speak about that tomorrow night, on Wednesday night. And the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. The Lord says, not me, not Keith saying, the Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust. And look what he says here. It was I who sent this, not the devil. We always blame the devil. God said, it was me who sent it. A great destroying army against you. Once again, you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God, who does these miracles for you. Never again will my people, Christian heritage, be disgraced. Then you will know that I'm among my people, Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there's no other. Never again will my people be disgraced. You see, he said it twice there. Double portion blessing. Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on servants, men and women alike. I want you to see something there. God promises restoration. He says, if you seek me, I will bring restoration. And I will bring a great harvest. The fields will be green. The vines will be lush. The fig trees will bear their fruit. You will have more than what you need, really. Okay, that's my paraphrase. And then he says this. Then after doing these things, I will pour out my Spirit. So what I saw there was, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we've been praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, something has to happen. Repentance needs to take place. Okay? Sunday, a week ago, we spoke about sin. We came forward here. We spent time repenting in the Lord's presence. Do you remember that? Were you here? We dealt with that. And we've been dealing with it. We've been saying, Lord, show us if there's areas in our lives we must make right. But then something else had to happen. The autumn and the spring rains had to come. And the harvest had to come. And they would reap a massive harvest of fruit. And then I will pour out my Spirit. So in getting ready for Pentecost, two things had to happen. Repentance. Restoration. In other words, new fruit. And then the Spirit will get poured out. Does that make sense? With the Word of God? Okay. The first thing we need to do, deal with is sin, which we've done. Now we need to deal with the barrenness. Because what sin will do, God sent the locusts. Sin will separate us from God. If God has to, He will do things to make us draw back to Him. He will allow the locusts to come and eat the harvest. The fruit will disappear. There'll be nothing. We'll go hungry. We'll be hungry spiritually, church. God may bless you financially, but you'll be hungry spiritually. And that's what we need to deal with. And we are hungry spiritually. We're saying, Lord, we want the fruit. We want the fruit. We want our lives to bear the fruit. We want our people to bear the fruit. We want our church to reflect the fruit. We want to meet with you. Amen. Jesus spoke about a similar situation. Did you know that? Turn in your Bibles to John 15. Try not to preach long because it's night time, it's late, and we want to still ask the Lord to move. John 15, verse 1 to 3, it says this. It's a well-known piece of scripture. I've taken it out of my New Living Translation. It's pretty much the same in all of them, but I did it deliberately. I am the true grapevine, that's Jesus, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. Who are the branches of his? It's you and I. Amen? He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. So there's already something that jumped out to me there. Jesus is the vine. Father God is the gardener. He works among the vines. He cuts off all the branches that don't bear fruit. Now, church, I want to show you something here tonight, because I've always said that if I get cut off, I'm dead, I'm gone. I'm history, okay? But then he said this. He said, you have already been pruned. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. And Jesus was talking to his disciples. You are disciples of Christ. He says, you have already been pruned by the word that I've spoken to you. You have already been pruned. As children of God, you've already been pruned. Did you know that? You do not have to walk in fear of being cut off. And I'm not speaking heresy. It's in the word, okay? You do not have to be afraid of being cut off, because you've already been pruned. But what you do need to do is you need to realize that you've been set up. You've been prepared not just to bear fruit, but to bear much fruit. You've been pruned. You get pruned so you can bear much fruit. And I'll go and I'll show you even further just now about the section that gets cut off, the section that's dead. The good news is that we have been pruned by the message of Christ. We're spending time in His presence. We're spending time in His Word. As we spend time in the Word, the Word reflects on us. It's like a mirror. We measure ourselves against it. We deal with sin. We deal with issues in our lives. And that results in a pruning. And as a result of that pruning, we can bear much fruit. John 15 verse 8 says this, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. So by producing the much fruit, it says we're disciples. He also said, by this they will know you're my disciples, by your love. And you'll see their love just now. But the other thing is, it brings much joy to the Father. It brings much honor and glory to the Father when we produce much fruit. So now, I went further. What is that fruit? In John 15, verse 16 to 17, it says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. What is this lasting fruit that we're meant to produce? So that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. So if we're producing the fruit, we can also go to the Father and He will give us everything we ask in His name. This is my command. Love each other. There's a hint. What is that fruit? This is my command. Immediately. This is my command. Love each other. What is this fruit? Love each other. But that's only part of the fruit. Okay? And I thought about that. What do we see as producing fruit? Do we see producing fruit as producing disciples? As making, going and making disciples? That's kind of been where I've focused all the years. I've thought, well, if I'm producing fruit, that means I'm sharing the gospel, I'm telling others about Jesus. It's only part of it. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Amen? Obey me. Okay? If you love me, this is my command, love one another. If you love others, you wouldn't want them to go to hell. So you'll tell them about Jesus. Okay? So if you love Jesus, you'll do what He tells you to do. And if you love others, you'll care enough to tell them about Jesus. But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. And this was what I was in a bit of a quandary about this afternoon, because I thought, am I really going down the right track? Am I preaching the right thing? But as I researched it, the more I found it, the more I found that people had written about it, the more I found I was on track. So what is this fruit? Love is the hint. Turn to where you know I'm going to go to. Galatians 5 verse 22. I'm not going to wait for you because you know what it says. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against such things. So when Jesus says that you must bear fruit in me, and when He says you've been pruned so that you can bear much fruit, I searched. The fruit that we bear is the fruit of the Spirit. And you might say, but there's more to it. No, because it's all wrapped up in that. Remember what I said about love. When we go and make disciples, we are bearing the first fruit that's mentioned. We're bearing love. So it is correct. It's linked in. But if we can get it right to bear the nine fruit of the Spirit, then we are bearing the much fruit that God wants us to bear. I always thought bearing fruit was leading many people to Christ. I do believe it's part of bearing fruit. Bearing fruit will result in us leading people to Christ. But the fruit is not that. The fruit, God doesn't say the fruit is people. He said the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Does that make sense? Amen. Do you agree with me? Because that's what the message is about tonight. What about the other eight fruit? What about the ones that come after love? Joy. Has everybody here got joy? God has been pouring out the spirit of joy. People have been getting touched. I was touched on Friday night. I tell you, it was amazing. I was speaking in the week. It's so long since we've laughed so much. You know when somebody starts, I'm not talking about the laughing in the spirit now. I'm talking, let's say you say something and it's just funny. Okay, we like to sit around the dinner table and that's where the laughter happens. Okay, but sometimes you laugh and you're crying and you're laughing at the other person because they're laughing so much. But it releases endorphins. It's good for you. It's so long since. And Friday night there, the Lord touches me. I started to laugh. I laughed. I was sore. I don't know what some of the other people, how they felt, but it can be painful to laugh like that. But the Lord is releasing joy. Because the enemy has deceived us. He's robbed us of our joy. What about peace? I came this morning and we share on the mornings with the staff here, we share a devotion. And it's Pentecost week, but I spoke to them about peace because that's where the Lord led me this morning. Don't be anxious about anything. Have peace. God wants us to have peace. So some of the fruit is good for us. It's good for us. Love, joy, peace, patience. What about when we're in our car? What about, all the racism that's gone on? You hear one story after the other. We need to walk in patience. Otherwise, what happens? We start getting this attitude towards other races, which is not God's plan for us. He won't bless it. We need patience. Goodness, kindness. When last were we able to show kindness, let alone receive kindness? Faithfulness. Look around. Where's the faithfulness? And I'm not picking on the people, but I am picking on them. Where's the faithfulness? The more I see it, the more I say, the people that aren't here, actually, they're not, it's not harming us. It's to their own detriment. Because it takes faithfulness to say, I will make the effort to come into God's presence. In God's presence, there's fullness of joy. And let me tell you, there's a difference in the corporate anointing. It's different from you in your quiet time. It definitely is different. How do we better understand the fruit of the Spirit? We better understand the fruit of the Spirit by looking at what's not the fruit of the Spirit. And now, it'll put the whole context in. Bear much fruit. If I were not bearing much fruit, then I'm bearing the opposite to much fruit. And we know what that is. Galatians 5 verse 16 to 21. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. You see, the one is the fruit of the Spirit. The other one is the fruit of the flesh. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the sinful fruit, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness. It just goes on and on and on and on. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So now I'll go back. I'm the vine. My Father is a gardener. You are the branches. Anyone who does not bear fruit will be cut off. But anyone who bears fruit will be pruned and will bear more fruit. If I'm bearing the fruit of the flesh, those things, that huge long list, the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, I allow myself to be cut off. That is the cutting off. And why do I say that? Because it ends and says, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the... That's cut off. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. But we are not like that. Because we have been pruned by the Word of God. Isn't that exciting? We've been pruned by the Word of God. And I'm almost done now. This is the picture that the Lord painted for me. If we bear the fruit of the Spirit, God's Word prunes us more and more. And we bear more and more. So the fruit of the Spirit will beget fruit of the Spirit. But my challenge tonight is this. We have repented. We repented from sin. But what we need is a restoration. We need this fruit. We need the pruning to have taken place. We need the water to come, the rain to come, and sink into our lives, and our lives to start bearing the fruit again. Because I think if we were to assess our lives, if I were to assess my own life, and maybe it's just me, because maybe I'm the weak one. If I were to assess my life and say, okay, Keith, are you walking in love all the time? And I've got to say, actually, no. Are you walking in joy? No. The enemy sometimes robs me of my joy. I told you last week, there are days when I say to you, I'm just down. Have you got peace? Did you sleep last night? Sorry, Trevor, that's not what was going on in your heart, okay? Trevor didn't sleep last night, okay? But if we're fretting, we don't have peace. Have you got patience? Or is your patience running this thin? Have you been shouting? Who's got small kids? Have you two ladies been shouting at the kids too much? Have you got peace? Okay. I'm using that as an example. Have you got patience with the people at work? With your staff? With your wife? With your parents? Have you got patience? Goodness. When last did we show forth the act of goodness? You know, acts of goodness. Are we walking in that? Kindness. Gentleness. Man, I battle with that one. Battle with it. I'd much rather react in arrogance. Well, they better just get it right. It's the truth. Amen. God's saying to us, before I can pour out my spirit on you, before you can reach the fullness of what I have for you, I want to restore your fruit. I want to put you back in a place where you can bear a heavy, heavy harvest for the kingdom and for your own life, because it's for our own good as well. I want to take you back to that scripture. The promise was that we must repent. But I said we've done that. And then the Lord says, perhaps He will give you a reprieve, send you a blessing instead of this curse. Perhaps you will be able to offer grain and wine, new fruit, to the Lord your God as before. God will bring restoration. It says in Joel 2 verse 22, don't be afraid, you animals of the field, for the wilderness pastures will soon be green. That's an awesome promise. For those of us, like me, that are not bearing much fruit, or all fruit, that's a promise. Because He says the pastures will still be green. These little leaves are going to come out. Remember the picture that I've been sharing with you? The felt when it's burnt. It's black. There's nothing. But give it a few days and little green shoots start to come out all over the place. The pastures will still be green. The trees of the field will again be filled with fruit. Fig trees and grapevines will be loaded down once more. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain. And the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. That scripture is for Wednesday night. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost. Think about it. When you were born again, your first love, the joy, the peace, the passion. People couldn't believe you were the same person that they knew yesterday. Because the fruit was all there. The fruit was all there. I want to take you back to that where I spoke about it. The pastures soon be green. I think it was in my commentary. The green pastures, that word green there comes from the Hebrew word dasha. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Dasha. Dasha. Something like it, okay? Dasha is only found in one other place in the Bible. You know where it's found? Genesis 1 verse 11. It says this, then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation. Every sort of seed bearing. We want to bear some seeds. We want to bear fruit. Every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. As we bear seeds, as we bear fruit, we will produce more of us and more fruit and more fruit. And God will be a blessing. So what God is saying to you is, when you allow me to bring the restoration, the green pastures, That greenness, the restoration I bring, is going to be like when it, at the beginning of creation. It's not going to just be new. It's going to be the new of the new. The first of the first. Can I hear an amen? So, I know it's hard to sit and listen to messages this time on a Monday night, right? But what God is saying to you tonight is He wants to give you new fruit. He wants to help you to bear much fruit. This is in preparation for the outpouring of the Spirit. Because only after that did He say, in those days, and then I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. He wants us to be bearing fruit once again. And so what we're doing tonight is we're lining ourselves up. Last Sunday morning we started lining ourselves up. We repented. We've been fasting. We've been praying. We've been spending an extra 15 minutes a day with the Lord, drawing nearer to the Lord. I've sensed it in my spirit. If you've been doing the same, you would be feeling the same. Amen? Tonight the Lord is saying to you, I want to restore the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And not just a fruit. I want to restore much fruit. You want to have your branches heavily laden. You are the branches. I'm the vine. I want those branches to be heavy laden. He's able to carry the weight of the fruit on our branches. We will not fall off. We will not break off. We will bear fruit. Isn't that exciting? Let's stand together. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We bless you tonight. Father, this was actually quite a simple message. But it's a very important message. Because if we do not bear fruit, we get cut off. If we bear the fruit or the manifestation of the desires of the flesh, Lord, there's no place in the kingdom of heaven for us. But we are not like that, and we praise you and we thank you for it, because we have been pruned. And those who have been pruned can bear much fruit. But for those of us, and if I'm honest myself, where the fruit is not necessarily evident, or all the fruit is not necessarily evident, or where much fruit is not necessarily evident, I believe what you're saying to us tonight in this fire conference is that you want to enable us to bear much fruit. We thank you for the pruning, but I want to pray that you allow there to be a budding forth, a blossoming and a bearing of the nine fruit of the Spirit, not just 1, 1, 1, 1, but in absolute abundance in our lives. And if that's you tonight, if you've been battling, if you've been battling with joy, if you've been battling with patience, if you've got a problem with self-control, if when you look at yourself, you see yourself as, yeah, I'd like to see myself as kind, but I know really in my heart that I'm not. I want you to come forward and we're going to pray for you right here, right now. And then we're going to close this service. We're going to trust that the Lord will do the rest of the work. So if that's you, just come forward. We're going to pray. Remember I said, if you don't have joy, if you're struggling loving, if you, it's not a shame to come. Amen.